Die Walküre, or the Story of Brunhilde. Wotan and the other giants lived for a time very happily in the splendid Valhalla. The palace was very beautiful. The windows were so large that they seemed to let almost all the sunshine in the sky into the halls. The floors were of polished silver, and the walls were of solid gold, set with rubies, sapphires, emeralds, and diamonds. The grounds which surrounded Valhalla were even more beautiful than the palace itself. There were trees so tall that it seemed as if the branches must almost touch the sky, and their trunks were so large that it took Wotan and six other giants, all taking hold of hands, to reach around one of them. Besides these wonderful shade trees, which had been growing for hundreds of years, there were great trees which bore delicious fruit all the year round. Then, too, there were large, cool lakes, and the queerest boats in which the giants would often ride. With these beautiful surroundings, the giants were very happy, all except Wotan. Every night they would sit out under the trees and listen to sweet music and feast upon the golden apples given them by the sister. These golden apples, you know, kept them always young. Very often the giants would ask their king why he was so sad. "Alas, I am afraid I have paid too dearly for Valhalla," was the mournful reply. "Do not think so much about that, but enjoy its beauty," said his brother. But Wotan would not be comforted, for it seemed to him as if a voice was always whispering to him, "Cursed is the gold. Only sorrow will follow him who possesses it." "Unhappiness and sorrow are sure to come to our home," thought he, "so I must prepare for it. I must find a means of defense, or some day Valhalla and all its beauties will be destroyed. I will take my magic spear and go to find protection, even though I have to travel around the whole world." Therefore, one dark night, taking with him his magic spear, Wotan left Valhalla. This spear was very wonderful, for with it Wotan ruled the whole world. It was a magician's spear, and with it in his hands he had but to command and the whole earth obeyed. Should this spear be broken, Wotan could no longer rule the world. Many swords had battled with it, but only to be shattered and broken, while this spear had not even a scratch upon it. There was great excitement among the giants the next morning when they found their king had left them. All that day they searched for him, but in vain. He was nowhere to be found. Night came, and still there was no trace of him. "Look and see if he has taken the magic spear," said one of the giants. They looked, and it was gone. "We need not expect him home for weeks, even months, and perhaps years," said his wife, "for when Wotan goes away and takes his spear, it means that he has started on a long journey." And sure enough, the days grew into weeks, and the weeks into months. Still Wotan did not return. The months grew slowly into years, and years passed by. Still the king came not to Valhalla. Many of the giants began to think he would never return. But the years to them did not mean what a year means to us. They could live for hundreds of years, and so long as they had the golden apples to feast upon, they never grew old. Still, the time seemed very long to them while their king was away. "Valhalla seems very gloomy now," said one of the giants as he lay down to sleep one night. "I wonder what Wotan will bring with him when he returns. He never wanders upon the earth for so long a time, leaving us lonely here upon the mountain, without bringing back something which adds much to our comfort," said another giant. In a short time, all was quiet and peaceful in the palace. The moon kept watch while the giants slept. But about midnight, they were awakened by some marvelous singing. The giants started up. "That must be Wotan," they said. "Listen. It seems to become nearer." "No, no, that is not his song." "Who can it be?" "Hark, hark, how different it sounds from our music." All the giants sprang to their feet and stood breathless, listening. Nearer and nearer came the music, and clearer rang out the song. Soon the giants could see their king, but he is not alone. He has people with him, and they have horses. And look, look, the horses have wings and are flying. See, there are 9 horses, and on each horse is seated a beautiful maiden. By this time, Votan and 9 maidens dashed up the palace steps and sprang from their horses. Each maiden was dressed in silver armor, which glistened and sparkled in the moonlight. Each held a large glittering shield, while on their heads were bright shining helmets, on each of which were 2 golden wings. "Why did you bring all these maidens to Valhalla?" demanded Votan's wife. "These are the great war maidens. Mounted on their winged horses, they are to go to the places where wars are waging. They will ride into the thick of the battles and bring the bravest of all the heroes here. Then we shall be protected and our palace free from harm." As Votan said this, the war maidens sprang on their horses and rode round and round Valhalla, singing their song all the while. The horses' feet never touched the ground, but with their powerful wings they flew more swiftly than eagles. Each one of these war maidens had a name, but this story is about one of them only, and her name was Brunhilde. They were all very dear to Votan, but he felt a more tender love for Brunhilde than for any of the others. She was the most beautiful because she was braver and stronger than any of her sisters. Not a day passed by, but some of the maidens rode into a battle and brought back a brave hero, and quite often all went, so that before long Valhalla was filled with the bravest heroes of the earth. Brunhilde and her sisters were always allowed to choose for themselves the hero whom they would bring, and they had never made a mistake. No one had ever been brought over whom Votan did not rejoice. Now there were so many brave warriors about the king that he had less fear of Alberic's curse. Still, he never quite forgot it. Votan had many friends upon the earth, and he often sent Brunhilde to bring one to Valhalla. Fricka, his wife, also had friends upon the earth, but her friends were not always among the most truthful men. One friend in particular was very dear to her, and she often begged her husband to have him brought to the palace, but Votan always had some reason for not sending for him. By and by, a great quarrel arose between Fricka's friend and a brave friend of Votan's. This gave the king much unhappiness. Fricka came to him and again demanded to have her friend brought. "Do you not know, Votan," she said, "that your friend has not been true to all the laws, and could you, knowing that, have him brought to Valhalla?" Votan, after a hard struggle with himself, told her that in that respect she was right, and he would give the victory to her friend. King Votan was now very unhappy. Nevertheless, he called Brunhilde to him and told her all about this terrible quarrel, a quarrel which had resulted in a battle so fierce that thousands had taken sides in it and were now fighting. "Now, my brave war maiden, mount your horse, fly at once to the battle, and bring to our palace my wife's friend." "But, Votan, what troubles you? I never saw you look so sad when sending me for a hero," said Brunhilde. "I never loved another as I love my friend, and it makes me sad indeed to feel that I cannot have him brought here to live in our beautiful Valhalla." "Let me bring your friend, father, since you love him so dearly," said Brunhilde. "No, he has sinned, and I have made the promise to my wife. Go at once, and before sunset, bring my wife's friend." Brunhilde mounted her winged horse and was out of sight in a moment. They flew through the air, over mountain after mountain. Soon she heard the clashing of swords. "Stop, my horse. Down here is the battle," said she. Then the horse flew straight to the earth. Brunhilde had never before seen such a terrible battle. It seemed to her as if Votan's friend was by far the bravest and truest hero that she had ever seen. For one instant she hesitated, and then with a cry sprang forward to give the victory to him. Suddenly a cloud as red as fire appeared, with Wotan and his spear in the middle of it. Wotan sprang in front of Brunhilde and stretched out his terrible spear. His friend at that moment had raised his sword to strike the enemy. Crash went the sword, broken in two pieces, for it had hit Wotan's mighty spear. So the battle was over, and the victory lost. Wotan was so furious that the whole earth shook with his angry words. Brunhilde was terrified, but she could not resist picking up the broken sword. As she did so, a mysterious voice whispered to her, "Notung is the name of the sword. It is to be given to the hero who knows no fear." "Brunhilde," shouted Wotan, "go at once to Valhalla and await me there." She mounted her horse and was soon back at the palace. Her sisters were waiting for her. "Quick, sisters, take this broken sword and give it to the hero who knows no fear." Again the sky was ablaze as with a great fire. Then Wotan appeared, bringing Fricka's friend to Valhalla. "Come hither, Brunhilde," thundered Wotan, "with your horse and your shield, follow me to the side of the mountain." Much frightened, she obeyed. "Leave your horse, lay down your shield, and stand before me." "Father, father, what have I done?" "You have dared to disobey the king of all giants, Wotan the Mighty, who rules the earth, and you must be punished for it."
"But, Wotan, I tried to save the one you love," cried Brunhilde, kneeling at his feet.
"Oh, my friend," mourned Wotan, and he bowed his head in his hands. Thus he sat a long time, and neither he nor Brunhilde moved or spoke. After a time he raised his head. The anger was all gone from his face, and his voice was gentle as he said sadly to the maiden, "Brunhilde, my best beloved, most beautiful war maiden, I must punish you. Look up into my face while I tell you what your punishment must be. You have disobeyed me, so I must send you from Valhalla. You can be a war maiden no longer. Yesterday you brought your last brave hero to our palace. Now you will have to live like any other woman upon the earth."
"Oh, father, father, anything but that. Do not make me leave Valhalla."
"Yes, my Brunhilde, it must be so. I shall put you to sleep, and the first one who kisses you will awaken you, and you will come to Valhalla no more." "One thing I ask, my father, will you not place me in some spot where none but a hero can reach me? Surely you will not deny me this," pleaded Brunhilde.
"No, my war maiden," answered he sadly, "I will not deny your request. I will place you where only the hero who knows no fear can awaken you." And as he spoke, Wotan lifted Brunhilde in his strong arms, picked up the shield, and telling her horse to follow, he carried her, his beautiful war maiden, to a large smooth rock and laid her upon it. "Here, Brunhilde, on the top of this lofty mountain, you are to await the hero who knows no fear. Sit up and look for the last time at Valhalla. Think of what it has cost me, all my happiness. Promise me, my daughter, after the hero awakens you, you will ever be brave and true. If you are, your life will be filled with a happiness which far exceeds anything I have ever known, living in yonder marble halls." "Yes, my father, I promise. I will be brave and true."
And Brunhilde for the last time gazed upon the towers and turrets of the beautiful white marble palace.
"Wotan, may my brave horse stay with me," said she as she laid down.
"Yes, your horse, the trees, the grass, and the flowers which surround you shall sleep. It will be very hard for anyone to reach you, my daughter, for I shall call on the fire to come and encircle this spot. Goodbye, my brave war maiden." And as he said this, he stooped and kissed her. Instantly she fell asleep, as did her winged steed, the trees, and the flowers. At that moment the sweetest slumber music could be heard. Softer and sweeter it grew as she slept. A sweet smile spread over her face. She had done what she thought was right,
and though she was no more a war maiden, she still was and will always be the heroic Brunhilde. Wotan took his spear, and with it marked a magic circle about the sleeping one. Then, lifting it high in the air, he called upon the fire. Instantly it came, and surrounded his beloved companion and daughter. Great red flames shot up almost to the sky. The fire crackled and roared, but Brunhilde still slumbered. Wotan walked slowly and sadly back to Valhalla, and again he heard the curse. Only sorrow and unhappiness shall follow him who possesses the ring. Day after day, week after week, and year after year rolled by. Still Brunhilde slept, awaiting the hero who knew no fear, who was to come and waken her.